the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And, you know, he's going to mold us and make us into what he wants for us and for his glory. Thank you, Father. Praise for God's mighty deeds and for his answer to prayer. I'm going to read from the book of Psalms at chapter 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory to his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the Son of Men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts. With the smoke of rams, I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me.
Testing, testing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ecclesia, which means what? Church. We are the Church of Jesus the Christ. And I want to start with a couple of things, but we're going to continue on prayer for a little bit today, and I'm actually going to do some prayer. So I've shared with you this morning what happened to me. I walked into a glass door. So if I point you out, you're with me. I don't take offense to it, but I do believe the Lord's put on my heart. We're going to do some, Julie and I are going to come together and do some prayer this morning. But one of the things, and you're Greg, correct? One of the things, and I'm going to point the new guy out here, so I apologize, but one of the things we did last week, what did we do? We were praying for Harvester's Church, right? We're praying for, Lord, what is it that you have for Harvester's Church in this hour? What is it that you're going to do going forward with Harvester's Church? You all know that Julie and I drive down here from Madison, okay? We drive down here because I believe God has an anointing on this place. Things that have happened to us in the past, I believe God has put me in relationship with Pastor Tim because of his gifting and calling. So I believe that God's not done with Harvester's Church and something's going to unfold. So one of the things I asked the Lord yesterday, I said, Lord, what is your vision for Harvester's Church of Rock County? What is it that you're doing in this hour? Because obviously he wants his church to be a bold church on fire for him, being a light in the dark world, right? And it isn't, we have a beautiful space here. We've gone through transition here over the years with many to a few, many to a few. We've had prophetic people in the house. We've had evangelistic people in the house. We've had great pastors in the house. And so, Lord, where is this going? What is it that you're calling us to do in this hour? So that was what we raised up last week. That was my prayer. And I said to the Lord yesterday, I said, I want you to bring one person into the church today that's new. At least one person that's in the church today that's new. It's not to say that he's necessarily here to stay, so I'm not putting you on the spot, but as a confirmation that the church is still moving forward in some way. Okay, so what I said last week is that we have to believe, 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 and what? The Lord's going to answer our prayers according to his will. So Greg, it's not by coincidence that you happen to be here. He's sure, assuredly here for his own reasons, and I'm not trying to pinpoint you off, but it is what I asked the Lord to release. Okay, so we're on target with where that's going. So I'm going to talk about prayer again today, and we're actually going to go into some prayer. But I want to do a recap, and I want to say prayer is a direct conversation or a communication with our God. It is a communication of the soul with our Lord who created the same. Prayer is the primary way whereby the Christian or the believer in Jesus the Christ communicates his or her desires, wishes, emotions, petitions, intercessions, and supplications with God. Prayer, in essence, is what? It's fellowship with God. Our prayer is our fellowship, our relationship with God. Prayer may be either audible as we come together, or it may be in silence in the mind. Prayer may be private, or it may be in the congregation, it may be in public. It may be formal or informal. And last week I talked about some things with prayer, but I want you to have understanding. Just pray, okay? However the Lord leads you to pray, pray. You don't have to have this agenda. You don't have to start worrying, am I doing X, Y, and Z right? I don't do that when I communicate with my wife. I don't do that when I communicate with others. I don't do it when I communicate with God. I just begin, and sometimes I'm going to the Lord and I'm upset, and I'm going, Lord, why is this going on? I didn't say it when I ran into the door because I know Satan's trying to stop me from ministering the word today. Believe me, I believe that's happening. I tried to put some words together for a song that I'd like to sing at the end, and we got towards the end, and I'm a baby boomer, so I couldn't figure out how to save it. Okay, but we're going to do the song anyhow because the devil's not going to steal our joy. Okay? And I'm the type, I like to warfare, so it's okay. I'm still going to come, you know. My face hasn't swollen up too badly, so I'm still here. But I'm going to come because the Lord wants to release the word. So your communication style is a non-issue before God. As long as you come before him with a humble, sincere heart, believing he hears you and answers you. It is with a humble heart, or rather a right spirit and faith, that you communicate, that you converse. Now, these are the only necessary ingredients. I come before the Lord with a humble heart. It doesn't say I come before him and I'm perfect, because as Julie will attest to, I am not perfect. But I come before him with a humble heart, with an expectancy that as I come before him, he is going to answer whatever it is I'm petitioning, I'm supplicating for. Prayer, in other words, is offered or communicated with a humble heart and in faith. Prayer is also offered in the name of Jesus and in the power of who? The Holy Spirit. We always come in the name of Jesus because Jesus told us to do it. There's two scriptures in John. It says, from John 16, it says, in that day you will not question me about anything. He's talking to his disciples. Truly, truly, which always equates to it is. Truly, truly, when Jesus said truly, truly, it's a fact. I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. And from John 14 it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And then he goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He said, ask the Father in my name, ask me in my name, and what's going to happen? If we believe, he's going to do something. Okay? He's going to answer our prayer in the way that he knows is best for us as you present your prayers before the throne room. And there's no barrier to get to the throne room any longer because Jesus broke that veil. I don't have to go into a confessional booth. I don't have to go to the priest or the pastor and say, pray on my behalf. I can go straight to the throne room of God, right? Because that veil's been rent and I can ask the Lord anything on my heart and he's going to respond in some fashion. From Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts also knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we're very emotional. Sometimes there's a lot of things going on in our lives that we don't understand. We may not be praying quite the way, right? Quite the way we want to pray, but the Word tells us that the Spirit is interceding for us, okay? So again, don't get caught up in all the mumbo-jumbo about this has to be done this way, this has to be done that way. Just pray. We've incorporated into our prayers then Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Someone asked me once, well, who am I praying to? Am I praying to Daddy? And I always call Father Daddy. That's just my name for him. Or Jesus. And I say we can have a conversation with each one of them. I talk to Jesus. I speak with the Holy Ghost. And I also go to the Father in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Scripture clearly tells us there are three divine persons, but only one God. All of them deserve my time. Jesus, the Son of God, deserves my time. God, the Father, deserves my time, and the Holy Spirit. And I do have conversations with Jesus. And I go to Jesus, and I say, you know, Jesus, as I'm interceding for people, for my daughter, for whomever, I said, you know, I confess you before men. I confess you before men all the time. Maybe not perfectly, but I confess you before men. Your word says that you're going to confess me before Daddy. I ask you to confess before Daddy as I pray for the health of my child. Right? Not because I think it's just lip service to the Lord, but I believe something is going to happen because his word tells me it will. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Jesus is glorified by this. The Father's glorified by us coming to him. And I believe he's a God that wants to give for his children. So that's how I pray. But I talk to Jesus. I say, Holy Spirit, thank you for your anointing. I get it when I come sit in here. I got it in the car driving up. I got it when I thought about Greg coming in this morning. My hands, the wind of the Spirit on my hands. We are supernatural beings in a supernatural place. The church got so used to the natural. Look at things in the natural. Pray in the natural. See yourself in the natural. We're not natural beings. We're supernatural beings here in the earth, and we serve a supernatural God, okay? We have to understand that in prayer, we're going to that supernatural God with an expectancy that something is going to happen. I have to pray for Heather today, okay? I'm going to pray for Pat today. Prayer, as described from within the Holy Word, the Bible, is seeking God's favor, seeking his face, pouring out one's soul to the Lord, crying out to heaven, drawing near to God, and kneeling before God. And not necessarily is the word referencing kneeling, but having reverence for God. I have reverence for the God that I serve when I go before him. Prayer equals relationship whereby we humbly communicate with our God. Worship God, thank God, and sincerely desire to seek his face. Having his will be made known, to be in true communication and fellowship with him, and to receive from him answers to our prayers, directions, and even impartation. Answers that are in accordance with the will of God, it calls upon your faith. Now, if you're going to pray, make sure you are ready to receive, because you're going to receive. So if you're praying for something to break out, and you're not ready for it to break out, I'd advise you not to pray for that, okay? But pray with an expectancy that what you're praying for, you're going to receive. If I'm praying for Harvester's Church and I'm praying for Pastor Tim, something is going to happen. Why? Because Daddy wants to answer our prayers. And I pray always, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And I've been praying all week about Harvester's Church. Lord God, what is the destiny that you've set before this church in this hour? Is this still a vibrant church in this hour? And I believe it is. What are you going to do with it? Don't look at what you see now, but look what Daddy's going to do. It isn't by mistake that he brought me here. It isn't by mistake that he put this man in the leadership role of pastor. It isn't by mistake that that man back there, Dan, who has such a desire to bring the word and truth and understanding, and every time he comes up here, it's always bringing what the true word says. Dan doesn't water down the word. Do you, Dan? You bring the word in truth. And sometimes you don't see that in churches. And I'm not being critical of the churches today. We want to always bless every church that's going around. But sometimes we need the word brought in truth. And I know every time Dan comes up here, we're going to get the word of truth. He's not going to sugarcoat what we need to do in this hour. All right? We each have our own way of adding to the body of what God, so he's fitting the pieces together for whatever it is he's doing in this hour, and I believe he's going to do something in this hour. Prayer is talking with God about anything and everything. Pray, the word says, without ceasing. And it doesn't mean 24/7 you're praying. You have to have understanding. Without ceasing. In other words, not just occasionally, not once a week, not once a day, but make prayer an integral part of your daily life. Okay? So getting on that bus in the morning, you know. I'm not saying it out loud because in Madison they lock me up. Okay? But I pray on the bus, right? Before I get to work, as I'm walking down the square, getting to the courthouse, I'm praying that the Lord would protect me from what the adversary wants to do to hurt or harm me, right? I'm praying about Cody and Carly, our children. I'm praying about Julie's safety, getting to work. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my family. I'm doing all the things that I know to do, and I'm not just doing it because I think it's lip service to the Lord. Hey, maybe he's going to answer, maybe he's not going to answer. He is going to answer. He is going to protect my family because I have faith that he's going to do it. He's going to watch over me at my secular job until he releases to go into the area that I'm really called to go into. Prayer without ceasing. Pray under any and all circumstances in your life. We're supposed to pray in good times and bad, not merely just during difficult times, but during all times. And this is key. The church needs to be on the offensive in prayer, not on the defensive. What do I mean by that? We ought to be praying now before things come to pass versus just praying when things start to happen where we need God to intercede. It's like football or another sport where you have offense and defense. Offense gets to move forward to try to accomplish, get to the goal. We want to do that, and there's nothing wrong with praying when your life is going wrong, when there's problems occurring, when there's health issues, when there's financial issues. Yes, pray, but pray before those things happen. Why? To avoid some of those things from happening, to get wisdom, understanding, and discernment from the Lord about how to have those things avoided, how to make our finances better, how to protect our health, how to protect our family, how to protect our jobs. We want to be on the offense as the church and not always on the defense. We need to be built up in prayer and prepare for the battles that may come and also prevent other battles from even coming into play. We need to communicate with our God, praise him, thank him, and tell him about how much we truly love him and desire him in our lives. We need to pray as a means to enjoy his divine presence and as a door to receive his divine revelation. I always believe if I pray that God's going to give me some revelation or he's going to give me some answer. But sometimes it's through revelation. Sometimes it's in a dream. Sometimes it's in a person that comes in. Again, we talked about it last week in the circumstances and in the situations that come to pass. We need to let fellowship with God truly be at the heart of our prayers. And we need to have a true expectancy that through our prayers, answers, directions, insight, divine knowledge is, and hear me very clearly, is coming your way. Your prayer is going to be answered in some fashion according to the will of God, which of course is according to your best interests, and for what? Kingdom advancement. You pray, but it's always for kingdom advancement as well. God will answer according to what he knows is to be best for you and your circumstances, or in the case of intercession, what is best for the individual you are interceding on behalf. Prayer is a two-way communication street. It's not one-sided. You communicate, but God is going to communicate as well. Know this for sure. Have faith in it. God answers prayers. Julie, you're up. You're up.
Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The Bible reveals that God is in the business of answering prayers of his people. From Luke, commencing at chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and may rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the sons of Israel, or he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." Elizabeth did indeed become pregnant. Not only did God answer Zechariah's petition, but the child he gave him was a forerunner to Jesus the Christ, a voice crying out in the wilderness, more than Zacharias had even asked for, I presume a son beyond what he could have possibly imagined, a son with a truly divine calling and ordination from the Lord, a prayer indeed truly answered. Then in Genesis chapter 32, commencing at verse 11, it is revealed that Jacob prayed to the Lord to deliver him from the hands of his brother Esau, whom Jacob had pretended to be before his dying father, in order to receive a blessing. From Genesis 32 at 11, Jacob is recorded as praying, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered." So he spent the night there, and then he selected from what he had with him a present for his brother Esau. Thereafter, we read from Genesis 33:1, "Then Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids and their children in front and Leah and her children next and Rachel and Joseph last. But he himself passed on ahead of them and bowed down to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. God heard the prayer of Jacob, and God inclined the heart of his irritated brother so that they might in peace be in peace and friendship. Jacob's prayer was answered. From the book of Judges, chapter 16, at verse 18, "Then Samson became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, 'You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant.' The Lord had just allowed him to kill 1,000 men. 'And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?' But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, Samson's strength returned to him and he revived. Therefore he named it, Enhancor, which is in Lehi to this day. So Samson went on to judge Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Samson prayed to God, and God showed him a well to where he quenched his burning thirst and so lived to judge Israel as was his divine destiny." In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, commencing at 11, Nebuchadnezzar was angry that no one could interpret his dream. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguards, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Ezrajah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. As is recorded in Daniel, we were made aware that Daniel was, in fact, subsequently then able to interpret the king's dream. From Daniel chapter 3 at 46, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief perfect over all the wise men of Babylon." A prayer answered by God for Daniel above and beyond, I imagine, what he could even possibly have dreamed of. The Bible is full of answered prayers. Nehemiah prays to God to allow him to leave the captivity of Persia in order to rebuild Jerusalem. God responds and softens the heart of the king of Persia, and Nehemiah is indeed allowed to leave and do as he was destined to do. Esther and Mordecai pray, and God defeated the purpose of Haman and saved the Jews from destruction. The believers in Jerusalem prayed, and God opened the prison doors and set Peter at liberty when Herod had resolved upon his death. Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him being made fervently by the church of God and an angel was sent to him, and he was led free. Peter responded, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has set forth this angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people and all that the Jewish people were expecting." Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 7, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, from this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me and keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh might be removed, and his prayer brought a large increase in spiritual strength while the thorn remained. God responded in a manner that was best for Paul, not the way Paul asked, but he did respond according to his divine will for Paul's best interest and for the advancement of the kingdom. Martha and Mary asked Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus. Jesus delayed but raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus didn't heal him, he raised him. Prayer answered according to God's will, but prayer answered nonetheless. Moses asked to be permitted to cross the Jordan River. The answer was permission to view the land of promise, but not to cross over into it. Prayer answered, but according to God's will. Jesus, from John 14, verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." The response to asking the Father is Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Ask and you shall receive.
Getting good at that. Off and on. Am I on? Yeah. Okay, I want everybody in the room is a member of the body of Christ. Okay, we're all members here, but we're all members of the body of Christ or the Church of Jesus Christ with Jesus Christ as the head. And when I come into this place or any place that the Lord leads to work, to minister, I need to tell people how important you all are to God. Everybody has a destiny in the Lord God. It's not by circumstance or by chance that we're here together today, because God's doing something today as he's doing every day. Every one of us has our role or our part to play. Every one of us has tools at our disposal because Jesus went to the Father and what? He asked him to send the Helper, okay? The Helper being the Holy Spirit, and through the book of Acts we have understanding that the Holy Spirit came, and he came powerfully and through tongues of fire laid on the apostles, the disciples, and they received what? Power. They received power from on high, and that's how they went out and ministered. And I've shared my testimony about how that happened to me at this church. Okay, how I came before an altar call and says, anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I'm all excited. I want to receive the baptism. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, people think that's goofy. I grew up in the Lutheran church. It's not goofy. We could go into a whole series talking about what speaking in tongues means as Paul reveals it to us in the book of Corinthians. That's not what we're talking about today. But it was evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked of the Father, and we received because Jesus asked. And so we can be Holy Spirit-filled Christians advancing the kingdom of God. And one of the weapons at our disposal, a very strong and powerful weapon, is the Holy Spirit in us, right? The Holy Spirit is in each one of you, I presume, right? If you came to Jesus Christ, you have an element of the Holy Spirit. How much of the Holy Spirit you receive depends on how much you ask and how much you're willing to receive. Okay? But it's all within us. There's not a one of us better than the other one. We all have a part to play. So, ask and ye shall receive. I came that day sitting in probably where you are, Val, and I asked the Lord to come in. I wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I always believed, even as a little boy, I knew Jesus from a very little boy. I remember praying to him about things that I wanted, you know, things that I wanted. But I also prayed to him when I was worried and things were going on in my life. He was always there. But I never really got that fullness until I received that. And when I received it, ever since, right? And that's been my testimony ever since I've been on fire for it. So before we move on today in prayer, I want to add one new component concerning prayer that we have to understand. And that is that prayer is a very, very powerful weapon against the enemy of our soul in the hands of a Christian, and hear me very clearly, who chooses to wield it. It's a very powerful weapon if you choose to wield it and use it. That's the key. From 2 Corinthians, we are told, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Prayer is in our arsenal of weapons. We cannot afford to look at things, as I said earlier, as they are outwardly. We cannot afford to assume that prayer is just something we do. Prayer is power in the hands of a warrior, and believe me, you're a warrior or a warrioress. I don't know what the other version is, but we're all warriors advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. And if you look around today and see what's going on in the news and you don't think we're at war, I'm here to tell you we are at war. We are at war. We are at war. We are at war. And I'm not saying go out there and be a hateful person. I'm saying, have understanding who you are in the kingdom of God. God has called you to service. And one of the weapons he's given you is prayer. So we can't afford to look at the outward. We cannot afford to assume that prayer is just something we do. Prayer is power in the hands of a warrior who chooses to reach into the arsenal, pull it out, and use it as the situation warrants. And I'm going to give you Christian A and Christian B. Christian A, sure I pray. It's something I'm expected to do. Sure, God might answer. But if he doesn't, I'm being an obedient servant of the Lord. It's something we're expected to do. But I don't hold out much stock in it. It's just a Christian ritual, basically. Say some ritual prayer over and over again makes me feel good, right? Nothing with any real meaning, but we are supposed to pray it. And I did that when I was in a church. We just recited the Lord's Prayer. And I said this last week. We just recited it. Every Sunday it was there. And I'm not being critical of the church because you never want to be critical of the church. They were doing a good thing. But if you want to go further in your walk, further in your understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, further in your gifting and anointing, you have to remove beyond just the ritual prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And at the end of my walking way, okay, we did that last week, we did that this week. No real meaning. I'm Christian A. I'm just going through the ritual, going through the motion of saying a prayer. Okay? Makes me feel good. Nothing with it with any real meaning, but we're supposed to pray. And here's Christian B. And that's the Christian that I believe I am, and I believe you are. I'm going to put on the full armor of God. I absolutely know that our fight is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And if you don't believe that's occurring, you should see what I've gone through when I saw my daughter starving to death, dying in a hospital, and I had to get on my knees and I had to pray in the Spirit. And the only reason I was able to do so is because I came to this church and I got revelation of who the Holy Spirit was, who I am in Christ Jesus, and what I can do. And you better believe me, I have been praying ever since. I pray because I have an expectancy that I'm in relationship with the Father. The Father's going to hear my prayers and he's going to respond because we are at war. When I went into the jail as a chaplain and ministered to those people at the jail, I had clear understanding what was going on. They were being attacked by Satan because Satan wants to destroy that generation, and the way he can do it, the way he can stop them from performing their destiny or living out their destiny is to kill them through drugs. If you don't think we're at war, look at what's happening in the world with heroin with our young people. The millennials and those coming before, they're being destroyed by drugs and pharmakia because Satan is telling them a lie. We are at war. And at war means it isn't going to just do our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Get those people in. The first thing you said to them, do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? You came here to hear the word of God. Why did you come? Why are the children of God in a prison or jail when you're supposed to go out and advance the kingdom of God? They never heard that before. You don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. And let me reveal who you are in Christ Jesus. And ask the question, why are you taking drugs? Why are you allowing your body to be destroyed by heroin and pharmakia? And I'm a straight shooter. I'm not going to go into the jail and, oh, gee, I feel so sorry for you. Why are you doing drugs, man of God? They don't know the answer to that. I said, I'm going to tell you why, and you've heard me say this before. Because Satan wants to wipe out your generation. Because if he can stop you, he can stop the kingdom from advancing through you. You need to have understanding of who you are. You are a son of the living God. You are an heir to the throne room of God. God has a plan, purpose, and destiny for your life, and it isn't going to get fulfilled if Satan can stop you through drugs and pharmakia. And it's not an easy thing to recover from. And I'm not suggesting it's just going to happen overnight, but you need to have understanding of who you are. They've been told their whole life they're nothing. They've been living in an environment where they say they're nothing. They're not nothing in the eyes of God. I say it to Carly all the time, who still struggles with her faith. I said, why do you think so many horrific things have happened to you? I don't know. Because you were appointed to serve a plan, purpose, and destiny for the Lord. If you weren't, Satan wouldn't care about you. Satan wouldn't be trying to destroy you through the things that he's trying to destroy you through. But if you ever get a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, Something is going to shake up. Something's going to happen. And Satan has to stop you, because if he doesn't stop you, you're going to fulfill your destiny and things are going to get shaken up in the earth. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're a member of the church, the ecclesia, and something is going to happen. You look at this church, Harvester's Church of Rock County. Everyone has a role to play. We came here for a reason. This church is not dead. This church has a plan, purpose, and destiny to be fulfilled. Julie and I talked about it. Her mother was one of the founders of this church 30-some years ago. Why? Because they prayed in that Rock County would have a Holy Spirit church. How many Holy Spirit churches do you know out there? There's not many. I live in Madison, work in Madison. I can't find many, right? But I know it's here. I know it's here when I sit in the church. I know it here when I hear an anointed man of God preach the word. I know when I look in the audience and I see all of you that God is on the move, right? I don't care if there's 12 people or 100 people in here, but I believe God to bring in the people, because we're in a new season, because the world's getting darker and darker and darker, and something's got to give, right? The church is what's supposed to arrive in this hour. And it may not be the way we think it's going to arrive. But they prayed in. Her mother prayed in a Holy Spirit church. And it came forth. And Pastor Hoblet came forward. And now Pastor Tim. Right? And we've got some that have been here since the beginning. Dan. It's not by accident. God knows the people that will get the job done. He prayed it in. They prayed it in. And it came to pass. And so now my prayer, and I believe your prayer as well, is, Lord, where do we go from here? What's the next thing that this church does? A beautiful building, wonderful building, right? Anointed space where the Lord comes in. What's next for this church? What's next for this church? What's next for the people of this church? Christian B, I'm going to put on the full armor of God. I absolutely know that our fight is not against flesh or blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. With all prayer and petition, I'm going to pray at all times in the Spirit. I know according to the Word, prayer is powerful, and God answers the prayers of His people. I pray in the Spirit, I pray with my mind. I'll sit down there, Julie goes to bed around 8:39, I'm praying in tongues. Why? Because Paul tells us we're praying mysteries to God and Satan can't understand it. You may think it's goofy. People out there say, oh, that church is goofy. It's biblical. It's in Corinthians. Paul talked about it. I wish he all spoke in tongues more than me. Why? Because he got a revelation of what tongue does. You start praying your spirit and God, praying to God, something's happening. You're avoiding that thing, that problem in the second heaven where there's interference. It's going directly to God, the spiritual prayer, and answers come forth. Mark Bredenkamp, if you ever read his book when he came here, talked about the power of prayer before he went into ministry. He was praying all the time in the Spirit, and then he got revelation of what he was to do. But he prayed for years. It wasn't just, and I will do that, I'll start praying. For hours. And revelation comes, right? Because we are what? Supernatural people. The church is a supernatural church. We're not in the natural. We can't look at our problems in the natural. The world looks bleak and glim, and I go to work, and I hear all these people worried about this president, worried about this, worried about that. I'm not worried about anything. Because God's in control. And if that guy's in there, it was through his direct or permissive will. If this person's in that position, if this person's doing that, whatever it is, God's still in control. And He always will be, because His kingdom's coming. It's already in the earth. It's already flowing through the body of believers. But not in the fullness till Jesus returns again. But it's coming. Jesus isn't up there worried about what's going on in our political arena. He doesn't worry about things because He's in control of things. Right? And He's calling His church to take control of things through prayer. That's one of the weapons, through prayer. So I pray for our government. Go on social media and see all the hatred spewing out about people. That's not the church. We don't pray hatred for anybody in authority. What does God tell us to do? Pray for our people in authority. whether we agree with them or not, pray for them. If you don't agree with their stance, pray that God would soften their hearts to receive what God's desire is for them. We pray for our leaders. We pray for all people. Jesus isn't about skin color. He isn't about race. He isn't about age. He's about his children advancing the kingdom. And we are kingdom children. Quite a contrast from Christian A to Christian B. Just a little ritual. So all week I'm going, Lord, what is the vision for Harvester's Church? What are you going to do with this church in this hour? What are your people going to do? What are they supposed to do? What are we set up to do? How do we call the people in, Father God, if it's your desire to call us in from the north, south, east, west? And when they come in, we're not calling in goofy things. We're not calling in witchcraft spirit, Jezebel spirit. We're calling in people who truly want to receive the word of God. First and foremost, they want to praise you and worship you. And then they want to do what the Lord's calling them to do. And then take it out into the world. This isn't the only place we are, but fellowship's important. The word says we're supposed to come together as a body so what? We can get uplifted, right? So we can become refreshed, so that we can share, and so that we can be ready to go back out. A high-powered semi-automatic gun or machine gun or even handgun is powerless in and of itself. It's not going to save a soldier from an approaching enemy until the soldier picks it up and directs it or points it at his enemy and pulls the darn trigger. And I'm not talking about guns here, but pulls the trigger, points it at his enemy. A loaded gun that is employed, picked up, and used can cause major damage. I want to destroy the works of the enemy. I want to stop him from advancing in my life and in the life of my family and in the life of those I intercede on behalf of. I want the power of heaven at my disposal to break strongholds according to the will of God. I want to see the kingdom principles active in the earth as they are in heaven. And prayer is the gun, is just one of the weapons, heavenly weapons, spiritual weapons that I have at my disposal. You start becoming a praying Christian, look out. Things are going to get shaken up. Something is going to happen. The word says it is, and the word doesn't lie. And if you want to know more of the word, you ask that guy back in the corner there, because he knows the word. The word doesn't lie, because our God is a God of truth. Jesus had success in the earth. Why? He was connected with the Father. He was connected to Daddy God. He had a vibrant, living relationship with the Father. He was in constant communication with the Father. He prayed and things got shaken up. Jesus didn't just walk around all nicey-nice. He did at times, right? But he spoke things out. He spoke things out. Be healed! He didn't pray to be healed because he took care of prayer in advance. He was praying to Daddy before so he could get revelation, and then things started to happen because he was a praying person. He had relationship with the Father, and things started to shake up. People got healed. Demons got exorcised out. Blood flow stopped. The blind regaining sight. The dead got raised. Jesus was in the flesh, just like you and I, stripped of his divinity when he came in. But he had weapons of warfare at his disposal. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, indeed. He had it, right? He received it. But he also had relationship with the Father through prayer. He was always in prayer. Before battles got won, he got in the presence of the Father in prayer. After teaching and ministry, he got with the Father in prayer. Prayer was one of his many spiritual weapons, the armor of God. He didn't typically pray in front of the crowd and then raise up, cast out, and heal. He got before Daddy in prayer and advance, and then when the time came, he merely spoke the word, and things happened. Jesus said in Scripture, I can do nothing of myself, but as I see my Father has taught me, I speak these things. From John 8:38, it says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you have heard from your Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son also gives life to those he wishes. When Julie's mom passed away, I got all of her books. Tons of books. The woman loved to pray. She loved Morris Cirillo, and I love Morris Cirillo. I don't know if any of you have heard of him, but I'm going to close out with some of his words. He was a great evangelist, still does some evangelistic work, and I believe your mom traveled with him for a season, or at least one of the conferences. And so I have all these books, and he's a great warfare. He loves to warfare. He talks about warfare. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about prayer and some of the stuff I've spoken on. I need to give credit to him today. But especially this, he says that through prayer, Jesus was in fellowship with the Father, and he and the Father were one. The Father in him, and he in the Father. Jesus entered into a powerful dimension of the Spirit through prayer, where Daddy fully revealed himself and his will to him. Through prayer, Jesus was able to see in the Spirit the things the Father wanted him to do. Through prayer, Jesus was able to hear in the Spirit the words the Father wanted him to speak. Prayer, a weapon to see in the Spirit. Prayer, a weapon to hear in the Spirit. Prayer, the outcome of prayer, the Father makes himself known. He reveals his character, his love, his mercy, his power, and his will. Through prayer, we come to know God. We come into a spiritual union with him. We cannot wait and be responding on the defensive. We need to be on the offensive through prayer, among other armor at our disposal. As the church, we must begin to restore prayer to its rightful place. Let's engage on the offensive. It's time to pick up the very powerful weapon of prayer. We are a militant church, and I don't mean that negatively, but we are a militant, spiritually militant church. We have to be aggressive and powerful in our giftings and calling if we're going to defeat what's happening in this hour. It's not going to be some little ritual prayer. We have to be in our prayer mode, in the right vein, speaking and asking and expecting that Jesus, that God, is going to respond. We are not to be fearful. We are to be bold. We do not compromise the word, and we learn that from Dan all the time. But we're not to gain favor with other people. We are to preach Jesus and demonstrate the power in his name. We are to pick up the full armor of God. So look out, enemy. Prayer in the right hands, and I'm telling you, every one of you in the room is the right hands, is powerful. Harvester's Church will move forward according to God's will if we pray and we ask him what his will is, and then we wait to receive a response, and he will give it. Whatever it is, Lord God, whatever it is, I lift up Harvester's Church again to you today. Lord God, I ask and pray for your revelatory wisdom, understanding, and knowledge about what it is, Father God, you desire of this church in this hour. You want your church to be a beacon in dark times, and we're ready to do that, Lord God, if you're ready to co-labor with us to advance your kingdom through this body of believers. Lord God, if this church is to do and move in this hour, we ask for revelation about how that's supposed to occur. We ask, Father God, that you download it to your people here today, those that have a desire to know you more intimately and to understand their plan, purpose, and destiny in the body. Lord God, we have a beautiful space here. We have a beautiful place here. Father God, we have the ability to do the things that you want us to do, but we don't want to step out without your will, without your knowledge and understanding, Lord God. We just ask, Lord God, what is it in this hour that you're causing us to do here? I believe, Lord God, something is going to manifest. I believe, Lord God, that something is going to come forth as we begin to pray, united as one spirit, this church, Father God. And Father God, if it is your will that this church grow and expand, I begin to call the people from the north, south, east, west. Lord God, if we need an evangelist here, bring in an evangelist. Lord God, if we need something that's missing in this body, or if it's in this body and we haven't recognized it, reveal it to your people. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Pastor Tim. It could be Dean, Father God. It could be Terry. It could be Heather. There could be a joint where there's confirmation, Lord God. But whatever it is, Father God, we're ready to receive it. We're ready to receive your direction as we go forth to advance the kingdom of God here. Lord God, this church was prayed in. Holy Spirit-filled church to come forth in Rock County. And Lord God, I know from my own personal experience that this is indeed a Holy Spirit-filled church. You're still present in the room every time I come here. Lord God, I thank you for Greg today. I thank you for confirmation of a prayer that was answered, Lord God. And I know that you are indeed on the move in this church because you answered my prayer. I thank you for it. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing here in the name of Jesus. Julie.